Before I do my sermon, I'd like you to pull out or grab a pencil or pen, because we're going to go over one more time today's text, and this time I'm going to ask you to circle certain words or phrases. And as I go through one more time, and I'll tell you which one to circle. Jesus began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road." Circle that three words, beside the road. "And the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground." Circle, rocky ground. "Where it did not have much soil, and immediately sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away." Verse 7, "Other seed fell among the thorns." Circle, the thorns. "And the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil." Circle, the good soil. "And as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 13, "And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all these parables? The sower sows the word.'" Please circle that entire sentence. "And these are the ones who are beside the road," usually they did, "where the word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word." Circle "immediately" all the way to "takes away the word," "which has been sown in them." And mind you, "in them" means that in persons, but to be exact, in their hearts. Perhaps you want to put a note in there. "In them" means in their hearts. Verse 16, "In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places," which you already circled, "who when they had heard the word, immediately receive it," circle the word "receive," "with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. And then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away." Verse 18, "And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things." Circle big time, the worries all the way to the desires. "Enter in," circle it, "and choke the word," circle it, "and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it." Circle the "accept." "And bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And those are the key words that I'm going to just go through my sermon, and you will hear a little better. Now, remember here we counted how many times I say the word success. Was it last week? I think. This time I want you to experiment yourself as you hear my sermon in about 20, 25 minutes. How many times your thoughts, your mind tangents off? Experiment, folks. Whenever you just thought going to someplace else, catch it right back and count it as one. Okay? You'll be surprised how many times it happens to you. And that's part of my sermon too. Now this morning we are going to think about two things: God's word and our heart. We are going to listen to Jesus and find out how our heart and God's word are related and interact with each other. Did you know that God speaks to you and me, his children, and interacts with us through his word, both spoken and written? We, in response, listen to him and pay attention to him and live out his will that is revealed through the word of God proclaimed, we call sermon, and through the word that we read through our daily devotion. When God sends out his word to us, he sends out his word with a clear purpose for us to prosper and bear fruit in our lives. Now listen to Prophet Isaiah about God's intention when he sends out his words, okay? This is God saying, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Have you noticed that God always sends out his word with a purpose, an intention to achieve something? And such word of God goes into your heart and mind. And in today's parable, Jesus explains how God's word, he called the seed, is sown into your heart and mind. He calls the heart soil. Let's dig in. The first one is human heart as soil. Did you know that the scripture says that we are God's field? 1 Corinthians 3:9. What is the field for? I remember living in Michigan, behind the parsonage, we had 100 acres of cornfield. You know, every year I see that, you know, corn growing up. The field is for planting and harvesting crops, right? God plants his word in the field, in us, and in our hearts to be exact, and we are the field, are expected to bring forth crops. That is, to be prosperous and fruitful in our lives. Now keep that in mind, the soil in today's text represents your heart. You got that, right? By the way, whenever we talk about heart in the Western philosophy, we tend to distinguish heart from mind. Heart says it's here, mind it's here. That's Greek philosophy that separates them. But in the scriptures, both heart and mind are contained in one place the Bible calls the heart. The Hebrew word lev. It's contained in one heart. Heart is therefore is the innermost seat of your will, emotion, and intellect. Okay? And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Now, I said that human heart is like soil, and God's word is like the seed that is planted in human heart. Like the seeds fall onto the ground, when the preacher proclaims the word of God, God's word is sown into your heart. I looked up the Greek word for seed here. It is called sperma, S-P-E-R-M-A. That's where the English word sperm comes from. A lot of English words coming from Greek. So, you know, sperm just, what is that? Swims to the, toward the egg. In every seed, did you know that there is life hidden? When the seed is stored away from soil for winter, for example, the seed remains dormant. However, it's not dead. Everyone knows that. Once the seed is sown in the soil, the hidden life comes forth. And likewise, when God's word is sown in your heart, it begins to bring forth the life of Christ in you, and it starts working out towards your fruitful life. That's how it works. Now, most of us, however, have no idea how powerful God's word is. For example, did you know that God spoke the word himself and created the heavens and the earth with his spoken word? By the way, I'm going to talk about word power next Sunday, so don't miss that. So God's word indeed has power and wonder-working power that comes from the hidden life in it. Listen to this, Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is living, not dead, and active, not dormant, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So you got so far, human heart as soil and God's word as seed. Now let's check it out when Jesus says there are four types of hearts or heart conditions when it comes down to God's word is sown. The first one I would call roadside soil. You circled it. The second one I would call rocky soil. The third one is thorny soil. And the last one is good soil. Let's check out them one by one. The first one is the roadside soil. Did you notice that? You circled it. Satan immediately takes away the word of God from your heart. You circled it. Key word is immediately. When God's word is proclaimed to you, Satan doesn't want to waste his time. He immediately wants to take away the word of God from your heart. Why? Have you ever thought why? Because he doesn't want you to have eternal life. Remember, Satan is not, you know, this funny guy, good-looking, cute guy, you know, we put on the shoulder. No. Satan, his intention is very clear, so that you may not have eternal life through the word of God, so that you may not be fruitful and prosperous in your life. And some of us says that, no, I never realized that. I don't think it ever happens to me. How does it happen? Because you don't know when it happens. Why? Because Satan uses his number one strategy, I would call distraction. When you're distracted with something, Satan does behind your back. And you don't know what's happening. Now, this is a typical example. I asked you to count how many times you tangent off during the sermon. During the sermon, the listener, you, is being distracted with other thoughts. For example, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, my friend is coming home, and I need to clean up my room, and I need to go shopping, and so forth. It happens during the sermon. Some of you smiling. I know you're guilty of it. And then, after you realize, oh, what am I doing? And come back, 10 minutes already passed. And you missed the whole thing, 10 minutes of sermon, which is God's word. Okay? That's typically happens. It is not normal and it is not natural. It is rather a spiritual phenomenon, folks. Why? Because you don't get distracted. Listen, you never get distracted when you watch your favorite drama or TV show. Do you? No. Because Satan doesn't care. Watch whatever you want to do. He doesn't care. But he really cares when you focus on, stay focused on hearing the word of God, and he gets it to his work right away. Remember, as soon as the word of God is sown in your heart, Satan comes and takes away right away. Unless you are on guard. Okay? What about the second type? It is rocky soil, no root or short stay. They are the ones who receive the word of God with joy for a moment, but fall away when troubles or persecutions occur on account of their faith in Jesus Christ. Here is Satan's strategy number two, affliction and persecution. Have you ever experienced this? You tried, okay, you know, I'm going to be more faithful to the Lord. I'm going to just go back to church and increase my attendance. I'm going to spend more time in reading the Bible and praying more and so forth. And all of a sudden, all hell is loose. All things go bad, from bad to worse. And you wonder, what's happening? I just wanted to be more faithful to the Lord, and all bad things increased. What happened? And some of us dropped that. Now, in those moments and days, you must realize that there must be Satan behind this, bringing all the afflictions and troubles and persecutions to you so that you would fall away from your faith. I remember in my, 1970s, I was in Korea. I was very much involved in young adult movement back then. And there was one sister who just became a Christian. So to encourage her, we all visited her house and we did our small prayer gathering inside of their house. And her father, non-believer, when he realized what we were doing, he got really upset. Don't do it in my household. But again, he lashed his out anger toward his daughter. I still remember he grabbed a ashtray made of glass, you know, very dangerous, you know, thing. He threw that ashtray at his daughter. Luckily, she ducked and the rest of it did too, so no one got injured or anything like that. But why? Why all of a sudden the loving father threw the ashtray toward his own daughter? Because her faith. Thank God she never gave up and she endured and persisted and she thrived as a Christian later on. Remember, I asked you to circle in verse 16 the word to receive. Please note here that it is rather a passive action, taking whatever is given in their hands. There's no active intention, there's no decision is involved, just it dropped in their hands and take it. That's what it means. I'll speak a little bit more about that later on. And let's move on to the third category of soil, which is no fruit, thorny soil, unfruitful. There are three things, Jesus says, worries and deceitfulness of riches and the desires come in and choke God's word and keeps us from bearing fruit. I remember years, whenever I read this passage, Lord, I'm stuck with this number three. I have too many worries. I follow wealth, whatever, and I have too many desires in me. I always felt that way. Now here comes Satan's strategy number three. Send them in to your heart, worries and deceitfulness of wealth and desires, pleasures. Okay? And what they do is that they enter, I ask you to circle it, enter literally means that marching in, walk right in from outside into your heart. Did you know that Satan could send and prompt your thoughts into your hearts? Your heart is like open bowl, has no lid on top. So whoever throws in your heart, it comes and stays in there. You can throw your own thoughts. I'm hungry, I'm going to McDonald's. You can make a decision. Also, God could put a very godly thought this morning. I'm going to church. And the third being who could do it is Satan. If you don't believe my word, check John chapter 13, verse 2. Anyway, what Satan does that, he sends out all the thoughts of worries and deceitfulness of riches and desires into your thoughts, into your mind and heart. And then, when they come in, they begin to, the word choke. What's the meaning of choking? Take the life out of God's word. The literal meaning of choking here is crowd around and crush. And here's the graphic example. If you choke someone with a collar and say, are you going to pay me or not? And choke that person. The same word, choke, is also used in the context of someone drowning. Both of them lose their breath. That's what these worries and deceitfulness, riches and desires do when they enter into your heart. The last category is, of course, the good soil, the fruitful ones. They're the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit in their daily lives. What kind of fruit are we talking about? A good example is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There are nine kinds of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Now, I'm not talking about the love that anyone could practice, the love that we could easily reciprocate to those who have loved us. Jesus says that, anyone could do it. Even the wicked people do it. But the love, the Bible talks about the love as the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the love that transcends hatred. The love even loves your own enemy. The love that blesses your own enemies. The love that gives food to your enemy when they're hungry. What about joy? Of course, joy, anyone could be joyful when things are going well, but the joy we have is that, once again, the joy that transcends adversities. What about peace? Same thing. Everything is just going wrong directions and you still have Christ's peace. The world cannot give or take away, but the Christ only give that peace. In my own experience as a Christian, I had a couple of times, my life was in a mess, but in the midst of storm, I had that Christ peace in me and I realized that everything's gonna be all right. Patience, a lot of us could use this one, patience. What about the end? The last one is self-control. I have to share this with you. Self-control. If you speak to anyone who struggles with any type of addiction, whether drugs or drinking or pornography or in smoking, they will tell you, I wish I had the control over that urge that springs up in the throes of that temptation. Only those who have experienced it would understand that. When the urge arises, you feel like you have to obey that. I'm using the right word. There's no other choice. I have to obey this urge coming in. So what they do to do that, whatever drugs or drinking or smoking, they even steal. They even lie to you. They even do bad things to you. So let me tell you this. Remember the one I'm talking about, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The best way to control your urge and even kill that urge coming from temptation is the Holy Spirit. If you're struggling with the addiction, you have to pay attention to the word I'm saying. Holy Spirit is the number one, best one who handles this urge that coming from the addiction. Okay? That's another topic. But anyway, so those people in good soil, they would have all these nine different kinds of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Remember what I said, I asked you to circle the word accept in verse 20. This is different from the word to receive. How? Because it carries the notion in its, you know, a word, active choice of taking it. You say, I will take it. An active choice of keeping it in deeper level so that it may have roots in your life. It also carries the meaning of welcoming it and choose. What's the difference between attitude of welcoming any opportunity to hear God's word versus you just tolerate? I'm going to check Pastor Choi how long he's going to preach today. Oh, he passed 20 minutes. Come on. Finish it up. You're tolerating it. Versus, oh, I cannot wait until I hear God's word, what God speaks to us, to me today. That's welcoming versus toleration. You see? That's how different it is. And don't despair. I'm almost done. I'll be through with this strategies for fruitful life. I'm going to present to you three words for you to remember. How can I be fruitful in my life in the context of God's word? Number one, welcome. Have the attitude of welcome and embrace God's word with gusto. When you come to Sunday morning services, I really want you to have this attitude, a mentality that, you know, today God will speak to me through his word. And I would be greatly disappointed if I don't get anything from God's word proclaimed. You must come to worship service with that positive and welcoming attitude. Okay? Otherwise, service, you know, just, oh, another hour I put in and go back and come back. No, don't do it. Okay? Your life, your fruitfulness depends on it. The first one is welcome. The second one is be on guard. The key word is guard. Remember the chokers? I created this, coined the name. The chokers, such as worries and deceitfulness of wealth and worldly pleasures and sensual desires, they march into your heart and stay there and choke God's word so that you have no fruit whatsoever. I remember serving in the Korean military for 3 years. Once in a while, every night, for 2 hours, they send you out the guard duty. You put your helmet on, you carry the rifle, and walk in there, and stay there for 2 hours, awake. And your duty is what? To keep any trespassers coming into your post, right? So your job is looking out, and there's someone approaching, okay? Stop, you say, and password. If they cannot produce password within reasonable time, you are authorized to shoot them because they're considered enemies. They don't know the password. They try to approach and you can shoot them. And they are not going to hold you accountable even though you kill them. Guess what? In your spiritual sense, you're on your guard. You're on guard duty. These three chokers marching into your heart. So when you see the war is coming in, you can shoot them down because it's the enemy. You can see the deceitfulness of wealth approaching. Instead of letting them pass, you can shoot them down. worldly pleasures as well. Let me tell you one thing, though. Do you know anyone who constantly worries about certain things? Let me show you then. The person's life is never fruitful. Great potential as Christ's, you know, child, but always somehow withered shape. Never fully blossom. The last strategy is stick. Persevere until you see the harvest. I wonder if you could see the difference between the rocky soil and the good soil. Rocky soil, it sprouts, all right, but they don't last because they didn't persevere. They easily give up versus the fruitful ones, the good soil, they continue until they see the harvest. So folks, this is my prayer for all of us. May the Lord open our ears. Remember what Jesus said? Those people with ears, let them hear. I pray that the Lord opens our ears to hear His word. May God grant us wisdom to understand today's lesson. May God grant us the desire to accept, not just receive, God's word in our hearts. And may God empower us to be fruitful in our daily walk with Him. Amen.